All right, welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Duncan, and Two Puds, real name Mike. Hi, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Duncan. How are you?
Oh, well, better than you, it sounds. It sounds like you might have some sort of slightly weird personality disorder going on today.
It's just your recent stories, which we'll go into later, about your activities at the Kendall Whiskey Festival has shocked me to my core.
Shocked to your core?
Yeah.
What a surprise. It's taken me days to get over being that cold. I was
it's a funny name for hungover, cold.
Too tipsy to realise how snowy it had got.
Ooh, too tipsy and two puds coming at you live, honest to a malt. Too tipsy.
And the dicey taxi ride back 20 miles to where my parents lived from the festival.
Too tipsy could stay, given some of the stories
too tipsy,
we're likely to hear
today. Too tipsy's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's actually quite good.
Nailed it. T-double-O.
Yeah, you're welcome. So today on the pod, what have we called this one then?
So we're on episode 36 and today's pod is called Barbie and Kendall.
Barbie and Kendall.
Lol.
Yeah, nice. We spent the longest we've spent coming up with a name. So if you don't love it, don't hate on us, because that was about 3.5 minutes this time.
And that is genuinely the longest one we've ever thought of.
Yeah, it's the longest we spent coming up with a name for the episode. So today's episode, we're going to talk about bragging rights. So we're going to talk about, obviously, the usual, what's been in the glass, what's been up your ass, but also people that take loads of pictures of their collection bottles and why maybe opening your bottles is, or certainly opening some of your bottles is a good idea. Don't have to, but just some perspective. And then we're going to recap with Kendall Whiskey Festival, right?
Oosh. Well, for half of us.
Well, half is, yeah, but you know, I'll relive it.
The other half was waiting in anticipation for all this photo stream of activity. And I don't think you posted a single thing.
No, I was too busy chatting to people and having a good time, being social.
The best way.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really, really quality. So big shout out to Phil, New Union, Kendall Whiskey Festival, all the other people involved.
Thank you to the winners of our free ticket giveaway as well. The grand total of nobody friggin' entered, so they went to waste. Yeah. Thank you. Decent. Yeah.
You did make it one of the most complicated competitions I've ever seen, which I thought was really funny. I mean, who's gonna do a triathlon and follow 17 people and bench 200 kilograms to get 2 free tickets to Kendall that's in the vicinity to be able to go?
Duncan too tipsy would have.
Yeah, I would have done it.
Big time.
For that £39.50 ticket.
Oh, I know.
So, Mike, good to catch up with you.
Yes, good to see you.
What's been in your glass and what's been up your jacksy?
What's been in my glass this week? Simon, the whiskey novice, was kind enough to send me over a sample of the Glen Scotia The Mermaid 12, 54.1%, Palo Cortado dram. Mm. So, yeah, I've been comparing.
Is that the first time you're trying it now?
No, second. It's decent. But I got it next to the Springbank Palo Cortado, right. So I can do a side-by-side. And
Mike is live trying them and doing thoughtful-looking faces, scratching his nose, scratching his ass.
Both all right. Nothing great.
Yeah. So I fully agree. I'm glad that you agree with me, even though when I tried them, I might have been slightly more pished than you were now. Yeah. I felt like
you were
them,
one and a half tipsy at this point, not two tipsy.
Yeah, I was like 1.7 tipsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried the Springbank at the New Union.
Yeah.
That and the Cask Strength 12. And I remember thinking the Cask Strength 12 was better. Mm. Also, I very much appreciate whatever pack of crisps I was having at the time. I tried the Palo Cortado at the festival on the stand.
Tell me you weren't doing salt and vinegar crisps whilst doing a tasting.
Hey, look, if anything can stand up to a pack of strong crisps, it should be a Springbank, shouldn't it, really?
True. Or a Scotia.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, if they can't hold their own against a pack of salted crisps, salt and vinegar or whatever, then it's not a proper dram, is it?
So that's my whistle stop sort of tasting notes. I'd say both very similar. Not certainly wouldn't be too fuming if I missed out on the Springbank, put it that way.
Far better ones. You got a bottle then.
Oh, I didn't. I got it straight away. Yeah, probably shouldn't have opened it. But oh yeah, and as for you, Frank, tried to sort of make weird allegations online that I was just posting pictures of a Springbank bottle and not opening it. So yeah. It was opened live on the pod last time with evidence posted online. So that's just for you, Frankie boy. Not that I
there you go, Frank.
Hold grudges. Frank
being
the tank.
Frank with Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can confirm you've definitely opened it and the disappointment is real.
Yeah.
Some people are saying they still think it's incredible, but I've tried it. I just think it's all right.
Buying into the branding. It's, yeah.
It's Springbank.
Don't get me wrong. It's a nice dram. Like, I'd accept it. Like, I'd accept it. That's a stupid thing.
I'd accept it. You paid 90 quid for it.
Take it away. Like,
oh, excuse me, Monsieur. Would you like the Springbank Palacatada? No.
Yeah,
I don't want it.
I'd still buy it in a bar if I went there and it was on there, and I'd had, like, if I was flush with cash and I'm buying a few different
£7.50, I think it was.
It would form a lineup. Yeah, it would happily sit in a lineup just to sort of be different from everything else out there. But what else?
You've
got to
try it, haven't you? That's the thing.
Yeah.
You've got to give it a crack. So what else has been in your glass?
I did another Steve Rush Whiskey Wire tasting.
I feel like Steve gets a shower every week now.
Mate, Steve is just my backbone of my whiskey sample world. So he did an Octave tasting, and I had a Glen Tockers. It's a 2008, 15-year-old, pick of the bunch, but 125 quid, basically. Oh. And I was like, oh, God. If you
That's so expensive. But what made it so good then?
Everything about it, essentially, it stood out massively for me. It was like, was it tangerine, cinnamon, pear on the nose? You know that old tinned fruit cocktail you used to have as a kid? Cheap one. One of those. Palate, love heart, strawberry, ginger, no coconut before you say it. Honeycomb, caramel, raisins. Just went on and on and on. There was just loads going on. So
you see how I've embraced and listened to your tasting notes, because it's a safe place to talk about whiskey tasting notes.
Of course it is.
Last time you and Graham were absolutely ripping me.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, I'll let you off.
I saw something on Instagram about being positive.
Did you immediately delete it and shake your head?
No, don't.
Just swipe straight past it. It went pathetic.
It was like when banter goes too far. So I made a note to say today that I love that sort of hoodlum type hoodie you're wearing. It fits you very well. You look comfortable. So there you go. I've said something positive to you.
Thank you. Yep,
you're
welcome. My new LA Chargers hoodie.
Glows
in the dark. Well, it's reflective. It doesn't glow in the dark. I'm not 4 years old.
Sometimes Mike turns out the lights and you can see all the little stars you stuck around the room. You know, those little stars you have, little moon shapes and stuff.
I've blended this now into a Campbelltown Palo Cortado.
Do you mix them together?
Yeah.
The two. The non-peated Scotia and the lightly peated Springbank.
Yeah.
Superb.
Still average. Hey.
I feel really bad saying it, but the thing, not for Springbank, but for Glen Scotia, but there's so many outstanding Glen Scotias that the bar sets so high.
Yeah.
So I did try it, and so I did try that Paolo
Cortado. It just doesn't match your...
It just doesn't light you. It just doesn't light your fire, right? You just go, yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
It's all right. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of room. Some people might love it. Other whiskeys.
There's a mermaid on the box, so it's all good.
Yeah,
super artwork.
It is amazing artwork. Yeah, but yeah, going back to Glen Tockers, I mean, it falls within my £10 a year that I'll allow myself, but I still feel like 125 quid for 15. I'm like, no. Knock 20 quid off that. If you made that around 100, boom, all day long.
It must be really sensational then.
So. Yeah,
they can be Glen Tockers. Tockers can be incredibly fruity, can't it?
Yeah,
in a different way to like Loch Lomond type fruit.
So. Really good, really good stuff. And then,
was it oily? Can I just ask? Was it oily?
I didn't get any oil on it. No, it's quite the opposite. Quite fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Vibrant.
Right. Vibrant. That's the love hearts. It was effervescent. We wanted to go all fancy.
Right. So that was an octave cask.
Yeah. And what's been up my arse, apart from Frank, is scammers as well and whiskey investment things, because you sent me a link to some dodgy old geezer that's been running a whiskey investment company. And I don't know if you saw, but I've, again, continued my one-man little war on winding up scammers.
Okay.
And basically started interacting with this guy and lulled him into then saying, do you want to buy some bottles off me? Because I've got a dodgy box or two of like Blantons. And he's like, oh, let me have some pictures. And I knew full well he's after pictures to just put up on there. So I found someone else's pictures, edited them, and put scammer within the text of the bottle.
I saw that. That was really funny.
He's now advertising himself with scammer in his pictures.
And it says scammer in the picture.
I
didn't fully appreciate the genius of that.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't appreciate it.
And he's still going as well, because he immediately blocked me once I said I had no more pictures, blocked, so I couldn't respond. You can't reply. But then
he's still using your pictures that say the word scammer in them.
Yep. And it's now appearing on his other accounts.
Hopefully, though, he doesn't actually scam someone. Then people look back retrospectively at the picture, they can see the word scammer in there. And then they think he's like next level genius.
Yes. Like, look how twisted this guy is.
I got scammed and he'd actually put the word scammer in the picture.
Whilst I was on the way to Walmart to buy my vouchers to send to him on email, I knew this was dodgy. I should have seen the picture.
Yeah, my days.
How about you? Obviously, what's been in your glass is lots of things, but anything non-festival?
Yeah, we talk about in the festival bit, but right now I'm trying a Loch Lomond Royal Mile Whiskey single cask, 11-year-old, because I sent a sample to somebody and they oh my God, if I don't think he listens to it, but if he listens to it and I call him somebody, he's going to be fuming to Barry, big hands Barry.
He's not listening.
Yeah. The whiskey chaps, yeah, one half of the almighty X duo, great website, by the way, with all those retail stores and stuff. Great content on there. He messaged me to say it is incredible, I thought, maybe it is very good, so I've cracked it out of the cupboard again just to try it. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Drum roll.
Well, it's
nice.
He said it has like sour refresher bars in it. And it kind of does, but it also has like, like icing sugar and loads of fruit. It's basically just concentrated fruit on heat. So that's decent. That's my warm-up dram. And then I've got a sample from Whiskey Toast's Paul Main, who was also at Kendall. And he was a legend, by the way.
We've got to do his tasting set as well at some point.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Yeah, that's more content.
He gave me a sample and he was like, take that, try that, like, so it's blind. So I'm gonna just be nosing that and trying it after this one as we go through the pod to see what we think it is, and I'll have a guess. Yeah. I'm happy with being wildly wrong. And I've also been still enjoying that the Siren Bay one that's still £55 on Master of Malt, 18-year-old mixture of bourbon and sherry cask. And if you're listening to this pod in the next couple of days and you didn't see his post about it, it can only be the Jig, Highland Park or Talisker. 18-year-old for £55 at 45.7%, 0.1% lower than Talisker.
Yeah.
Maybe. Now, for me, it tastes more like Talisker. Some people have said they think it's more like
Jig. That's going to be a Talisker then.
I feel like it is. I feel like it's just dropped too low in the ABV.
Just to like be out of that region. It's within tolerance to what they can bottle. Same as like beer. I mean,
it's coastal sea spray. It's got the medicinal peat in there in bags. For me, it has the same mouthfeel as Talisker.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm in that camp, but I'm no expert. I could well be miles wrong. But
what did you say the percentage was?
45.7.
Right. So 46.3 is what a lot of people bottle at to make sure it's always 46. But that would say if they're bottling at 46, that is within your legal 0.3 tolerance to be a 46%. So that's going to be Talisker all day long. Just off that alone.
Right. Okay. Well, we've concluded it then.
Done.
Science.
Science wins.
Science. And that only makes me want to go and buy more bottles, because it's basically then, and again, just for, two puds and myself, too tipsy, we could be wrong. It's not Talisker, we apologize. But for me, it tastes like Talisker. It makes sense. It could be Talisker.
It looks like Talisker. It's £55. Tastes like Talisker. Smells like Talisker. It's an Ardner Merkin.
An 18-year-old Ardner. So anyway, that's been in my glass. And also, I've got a bottle of the Chick from Master and Malt 12-year-old, which I love to bits, but it's now got into that final third. Boom. And so I'm now just going to accept, crack on, finish it before Christmas. So
I meant to do the countdown thing, and I just did Mastermind.
And what's been annoying me, mostly been good, really. A long drive back from Kendall.
Not on a bike this time?
No, with the family this time. So plenty of stops, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's incredible how many people manage to spin, crash, just on a sort of what should be like
straight
a
straight road.
Yeah. How do they manage it? And I always think, I'm like, what have you done to manage that, right? So that's kind of annoying. We had like an hour and 15 minutes of delays on top of, so it turned it basically into an 8-hour journey, because we stopped for about an hour and 40 minutes because we have to. We stopped for an hour and 40 minutes and And I, you know, sat in traffic and roadworks, all that kind of stuff. That's probably been the most annoying thing of the week, which isn't hilarious, but it's just exactly what happens.
Just grinding your gears.
Yeah, I've got a manual at the moment. I used to have an automatic, and in the automatic, you didn't care. You're just like, it doesn't matter. Like,
so my new car has got, it's not like up there with Tesla, but it'll just control its own speed and braking.
Right.
So you put a speed in, obviously 70 miles an hour.
Obviously.
It'll just watch, and it'll, you can choose your length to the car in front, and it'll just brake and everything else. So even when you suddenly go to like 0 mile an hour in average speed cameras, soon as that car in front moves, slow pickup. And I'm like, oh, this is the best. And it's got lane assist, so it keeps in your lane.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was nice.
So I like to drive in an involved way, except on very long journeys. Right, because it just get tedious, right? Long journeys, especially motorways. So I would have loved your car for that journey.
Yeah,
when I'm gazzing around, you know, South Woodford in
on the
London.
Ped.
Yeah, on the ped, or you know, in the G wagon.
Yeah,
the manual 1.6 G wagon.
That's an old Ford Granada. Yeah, G wagon.
It's all about the manual gearbox and the gear changes, isn't it? Right, you know. So, yeah. Then I like a manual, but yeah, for everything else.
I like automatic. A manual.
Mm. So that's probably the main thing. Our daughter's got really into sea shanties, and she now just wants to listen to the same sea shanty over and over again. Like, Weller Man.
Is it your sea shanty?
No, I haven't written them. They are just sea shanties. So the Weller Man is a very famous one, and there's one from Frozen.
Okay.
And she'll just listen to the same song like 25 times in a row.
I mean, that's a good interlude to what I wanted to talk about as well. So you briefly mentioned it before we started, and your little Christmas jingle got some recognition this week as well, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if people just stabbed themselves in the head on hearing it. So
That's because they don't like anyone talking about Christmas before Christmas. It's nothing to do with the quality of the jingle.
What did you say? It was like an interlude by which artist? You said it was supposed to be loosely based upon Johnny Rotten.
Well, Sex Pistols, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, was he having a day off and Frank Spencer came in?
Didn't say it was good. It was loosely based on.
All I could inspired picture by. Was, oh, Betty, the whole time of Frank Spencer.
like a camp yeah. Johnny Rotten.
And this coming from the song was in my head days, absolute days. I can't listen to that pod ever again.
What, Jingle Bells?
Honestly. You killed me last week. You absolutely killed me.
I just thought it was funny.
Like, no, it's good. It got me tickled, but like...
Oh, so it worked then?
Because when it came on BandLab, you were like, yeah, add something to it. And I went, I am not doing anything over that. That is gold. But when I was editing, I had to listen to it so many frigging times.
I tell you what it was. As I did it sort of like Elvis one or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, one, I can't sing very well at all. I can't really sing. So I thought, okay, this is a stretch, but Michael really help it out. But then I thought, well, that sort of Jingle Bells theme would really lend itself to sort of a more punk type lyric. And so I thought I'll just try and do it like apparently a camp Johnny Rotten.
Betty!
An old Betty Johnny Rotten, yeah.
Some dingle!
But I'm not even sure if people understood what I was saying.
No, 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 I've got no idea.
It's like dingle or bells, dingle margin Lee.
Yeah, dingle margin Lee. I got that bit. And then, if you think that, if you agree.
If you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you.
A bridge to sell you?
To sell you? Like,
what's that mean?
Like, if you think that, I can't believe I'm explaining this. If you think that, if you think that bells is actually better than dingle, then
no,
you
I got
must
that
be,
bit.
You know, sort of a bit gone in the head, and therefore I can sell you a bridge. It's a political reference that very few people would get.
I would have gone down the line of a cast investment company.
That was too long. So, again, Mike, I write the lyrics in about 5 minutes, so I haven't got time to consider all the permutations. This is not songcraft.
Well, next time from Simon Cowell.
But I got the
two puds Cowell.
I got the bit about dashing round whiskey show with a Glencairn in my hand over to Dingle.
Don't keep singing it now.
Yeah. No, but Dingle's stand is rammed.
Yeah.
Ram. I like that bit.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember if it was Sav that said he's going to stop listening if it's ever played again.
He doesn't mean it. He's too busy smuggling whiskey into his house and evolving as a vegan.
So whilst you were enjoying yourself, I heard that song running around my head while you were dramming a Kendall. So
also Doggy Moan. It's rained continuously recently.
Oh, don't.
And so I'm so sick of toweling down and hair drying Leo off after I've taken him for a walk. Like, genuinely sick of it. I think he's sick of it as well. He looks at me like, do we have to do this again? I'm like, if you want to come inside, do you want to stay outside? Should I build you a kennel?
So my garden is flooded, as we talked about my drainage issues before. So Barley basically goes out for a week and comes back in like he's done a day on the site. He's just covered in mud. And I'm like, you've like been out there 10 seconds. What have you done?
He comes in. He swans in. There's dust all over him. He wanders over to the fridge, opens the fridge door, gets a tinny of Stella out,
the door open.
Cracks it. 10 minutes later, he's got another tin of Stella
and
in his hand.
And then he leaves.
Yeah, and then he just chips off. Yeah. You go to him, hang on, it's only 2 p.m. Yeah, you can't have finished working already. He's like, I'm done for the day, we're off.
Done for the day, babe. Got another job on, didn't we tell you?
Yeah.
No, poor Prince, all through the downstairs and the carpet. So I'm just like permanently on my hands and knees scrubbing muddy poor Prince, because he's like, to get him when he comes in, you've got to be so on it to like get
gotta
him.
Got to be fast.
Grab him, get the towel, because otherwise he's like, where's my ball? Let's play. And there's just mud everywhere. I'm like, oh. So this is like 4 times a day. It's doing my head in. So, yeah.
Totally empathize, sympathize. What's the one when you're experiencing it yourself? I think it is empathize. Yeah. Sympathy is when you haven't experienced it, but you go, I still feel your pain.
I still pretend that I feel your pain. And
yeah,
I'm
pretending to feel, I actually feel your pain, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
So, midsection on the pod today, I said something before going to Kendall. I think I just got triggered by something, which is that I'm totally on board with people collecting whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm more on board with people drinking whiskey, because that is ultimately its purpose.
Frank.
But at the same time as that, I do get a little tired of just seeing closed bottle pictures, whether they're less so when they're on, you know, in the sea or in a tree. But at the same time, I still get a bit bored of that. Really, what I want to see is people enjoying their whiskey, either with friends, out of club, at a pub, at a bar, even on their own, whatever. That's what I want to see, really. And so I kind of said, I'm probably going to stop liking people's posts of closed bottles.
You're going to crash Instagram because you're on it all the time. And
unless
just from you not liking
it, you're the kind of person that's going to open it fairly soon. And I know there's a whole bunch of people that take pictures of closed bottles and then crack them open. Right?
Me.
And I've got no objections with people collecting. But what I do object to, I think, not object to, but just, I just don't want to encourage all this like posing. I don't want to encourage it. I hope that describes it best.
As I sit behind with my backlit whiskey cabinets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I've
but
got a few
open.
Bottles.
They're open.
But I've got, no, but it's okay to have some closed bottles. What I'm trying to discourage is all this taking pictures of closed bottles. But I feel like it's a losing battle, like a pushing water up a hill, because more people seem to get more likes and engagement for taking a picture of a closed bottle, which you never see get opened ever, than seeing someone having a sip and talking about their whiskey.
And although I'm taking swipes at Frank, I think that was his point. I think it was a hard to get spring bank, and he's like, open it. As if I was doing just that.
It.
Yeah, but he didn't know.
But he doesn't know that, does he? He doesn't know that about you, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know. Let's talk about Frank.
Follow me, Frank. It's okay to talk, and you'll understand that I do open more than I bloody should.
So I thought, to get some perspective, you know, this sort of open your bottles, and I think Taylor Cope, that fella that edits for Malt, I saw somebody replying to him, so it came up in my feed. And he was saying there's this sort of myth around open your bottles, you know, like it's fine to not open your bottles, or it's, I think he was saying that he's put aside X amount of bottles to try them in the future because they'll be different. And that's my point, is you can justify it however you want. I've got no problem with people holding back bottles. People have done it for years. It's just called collecting or storing or having stuff that you love, right? I'm just talking about the flaunting it, like, continuously.
Yeah.
And I've someone that's got closed bottles, but I don't take pictures of them all the time and say, look at my closed bottles.
Same every
just
time.
Don't do it.
Every time they release a spring bank, you get a new one, you don't open it, you get all your old ones out. And
I literally, under my bed is just full of spring bank past, you know, all these closed spring bank bottles, just hundreds of them.
Yeah.
I just sleep on it. Yeah.
And just get them out. Just get them out every time a new one comes out, and then take a photo. Yeah. And then,
It's like
Ardner murking off.
It took me ages to build my, It's like a scale replica, almost a scale. It's like 1 to 2 of that DuckTales, you know, when he's like swimming around in money. But I'm just swimming around in limited edition Springbank closed bottles.
Oh, mate, there's another song here. There's like, yes, I'm going to get that tune. Life is like a hurricane here in Springbank.
Yeah, I thought I'd get some perspective. So if you don't open your bottle, obviously, you could die today. You could die tomorrow. So I've got some odds for you. So if you're sitting on loads of closed bottles thinking you're going to live forever, we've got news for you. Well, certainly I have anyway. 500 people a year die from a hippo. What do you think about that, Mike?
The storage bags.
No, not storage bags. The hippopotamus.
Joking.
Winding me up, you moron. There's 7.9 billion people on the planet, right?
Yeah.
So you take that and you divide it by 500. And if we've got the maths wrong on this, remember, we're not rocket scientists. I think that means there's a 1 in 15.8 million chance of being killed by a hippo each year.
Which is that's quite high. Ironically, is the same as chances winning a Springbank ballot.
Yeah, it's slightly more likely. But yeah. So I went down this rabbit hole of looking at like your chances of being killed by an animal. Mm. Shark attacks, 5 people die a year. Lions, 22. People aren't scared of lions the same way they're scared of sharks, are they? It's like irrational. Right.
Yeah. Despite the fact they pose probably more risk to you, being land dwelling animals that we are.
Yeah. Exactly. So you've got a 1 in 359 million chance of being killed by a lion. I wouldn't worry about that.
What are the
obviously
odds,
work with lions? Every
what
day.
Are the odds of being killed by a rabbit?
I did not look that up. But if you want to hear something scary, snakes. that stuff shoots. Almost no one ever dies from a spider. So people are totally irrationally scared of spiders. But snakes. My fear of snakes is totally rational. 80,000 to 130,000, 135,000 people a year die from snakes.
How many of those are on a plane?
I don't know. But if you did die of a snake on a plane, that would be surely...
Samuel L. Jackson is legally obliged to speak at your funeral if you get bitten by a snake on a plane and die.
He turns up in that... Was it the Kappa hat that he wore for ages? Right?
Yeah, Kangol.
He lived on those things for a while.
Kangol.
Kangol, that was it. Yeah. Kangol. Oh my God! Someone from an executive for Kangol is listening to this, and they've just chucked their coffee across the room.
A Kappa, goddamn Kappa!
This guy. I'm trying to translate the odds live as we speak. So let's call it around 100,000 people a year, right? That means you've got a 1 in 79,000 chance every year of dying of a snake bite. That feels quite lively, right?
That's a bit.
Obviously, not really in this country, not in the UK.
Yeah, no. You know, the lesser spotted trousers snake might have you, but yeah.
I almost stepped on an adder once when we were walking in the forest in Norfolk, and it was in between like the shade on either side. It was lying in the sun.
Yeah.
And my foot almost went on it, but it moved out of the way and went away because obviously it doesn't want the confrontation. But that was definitely a poisonous snake. Mm. I'm not sure an adder can kill you. Maybe my leg would have swollen up a bit. Shark attack 5 a year, hippos 500, lions 22, snake bites 80,000 to 135,000, spiders 3. And then we get into 3.
Shut up.
I know, right? It feels really low. 3 people a year die of spider death from spiders. Yeah.
I'm gobsmacked at that. I've been bitten by a few spiders.
I couldn't believe it.
And I had like severe reactions in America and stuff. Like I got bit when I was in Pennsylvania and my leg basically turned to jelly and went straight down like a ruler to my foot.
Right.
But you could push my leg and your fingerprint would stay in there for about 2 minutes. It would slowly come back out.
Right.
And that was just a normal spider. So I'm gobsmacked at 3.
You're gobsmacked. Well, I was gobsmacked too. And remember, I've got this off the internet, so it may not be entirely correct.
Did you say you got it off the web?
Got it off the web, yeah. Well, where am I supposed to... I got it off the web. Well done, Mike. So 42 people a year die on the toilet.
Yeah.
So just think about that. Whilst you're on the toilet tomorrow and you've got, 70 closed bottles or whatever it is, or 250, you could die.
I can say that is seemingly very low.
You think that's low?
100%.
1,000 people a year die from lawnmowers. Just cutting the grass. They're just cutting the grass, mate. Thinking they're going, that Springbank shelf in my house looks absolutely... Oh!
And not be funny, we're going to have to rethink our zombie episode, because if these are the stats, pre-zombies, oh my God.
Mike, wait for it. 700 people a year die making toast in their toaster. You just Hey, all you wanted was some Marmite on toast.
Yeah.
And you know what? Your whiskey shelf looked lovely in the background. You were actually really looking forward to posting that picture on Instagram of that closed Macallan,
yeah,
whatever, Peter Blake. And then boom, toaster killed you.
Never do toast in the bath. That's the lesson there.
Yeah, and you never even tried it. Right?
Well, here's to you, whoever that is, everyone.
Yeah. Hang on. There's a couple more.
You missed my toast joke as well there. Come on.
Oh, sorry, Mike. I'll get it when somebody tells me about it online. I'll go through these a bit quicker. So 200 people a year die from being struck by lightning. About 10% of people get struck by lightning. 2,000 people get struck by lightning each year, and 200 people actually die from it. Planes, about 150 to 500. Varies on the year, obviously, yeah. Sadly. Heart attack, somewhat higher, 17 million.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So bit of a jump.
Bit of a jump, yeah. And there's obviously some things higher than that, which, you know, have affected all of us in our lives, which are
the C-bomb, which we cannot joke about.
Yeah, we can't joke about. It's very good. Everyone knows someone that's lost someone due to cancer. So, falling down, I thought. So just falling over, which can include anything.
Yeah.
Falling over could include you're walking down the street and you trip over. It doesn't mean like falling
that's
off a cliff.
That's generally what falling over is, Duncan. You've done very well to describe.
Falling down the stairs. Any kind of falling. Mike, how many people a year die of any kind of falling?
I'm going to say people falling over 1 million.
Not quite as high as that. 684,000 on the latest numbers. I don't know how many of those people were pushed, but that means you've got a 1 in 11,500 chance of dying of just falling over. You could be walking to take a picture on Instagram. Boom, you've tripped over, smacked your head. Before you know it, you're
especially in icy conditions.
You never tried your ball.
People are going to be going for those snow shots soon, and
careful in the snow shots. Yeah,
be careful out there.
So I don't think there's anything else. Well, people that have died of the the old SHITS, 1.5 million in a year.
Died of the shits.
Yeah. Diarrhea, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to say that used to be me on most weekends after rugby.
And if you think you're safe of the falling down thing, that mainly affects people in lower middle income countries, probably like the UK these days.
So yeah, I was going to say.
We're not safe. Look at the paths. Look at the paths and look at the roads.
Look at his back to the roadworks again. State of the roads.
State of the roads. Potholes. Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's because people like you are fed up of roadworks. They start walking on motorways to prove a point and get fall over down a pothole.
But Mike, do you see my point?
Get your bottles open is what you're saying.
Well, just live life for the moment, really.
Yeah.
I mean, plan a bit, but don't plan too much, right?
Yeah.
You can't take it into the next life with you, can you? Right?
I am looking forward to the impact and the stats that you not liking posts from that thing has on Instagram. They might fold. Could go the way. This could be news tomorrow. Twitter, like, obviously the advertisers are pulling out now. Instagram could go because you're not liking pictures of closed bottles. This is you heard it here
first.
We'll
see. I think it's a trend that will die with me. That's what I think. people love to like a collection and a closed bottle.
It's good. Like that. Good stats. Mm.
So Kendall, I've got in my glass a lovely blind dram from Paul Main Whiskey Toasts, who was obviously ambassador for Hunter Lang. And it is heavy char and peat. And I'm getting port vibes on it as well.
Nice.
Just on the nose. That's what I'm getting.
Double P. Just for me, that's it. You can't go wrong.
Peat and port. Peat and port and char. I've had it. It's probably been sat in the glass now for about 40 minutes. I've not touched it. And it's still like a sledgehammer on the nose.
Is it swinging in like a wrecking ball? I'm now picturing Paul swinging through like Miley Cyrus with a bottle in his hand.
That's now, I'll tell you what, that's also making me think of like Mac Mirror.
Mac Mirror, what the crazy
Yeah, it's got that kind of like crazy levels of peat, that kind of like petrol stations being some structural grenade and a petrol station type vibe going on. That is so heavily peated.
Shout out to you, Paul Hawksby, hello.
Anyway, I've no idea what it is. But that's my guess. Port cask, heavily peated, charred.
So your experience at the Whiskey Festival, I'm somewhat blind because, as I said earlier, I was waiting for this stream of photos and what you were up to and seeing the T-shirts you had made for the pod and how you're putting out there. And I think you posted a McDonald's wrapper or something on the way up and that was it.
I posted something afterwards, didn't I?
Not a lot of content coming out.
I was having too much of a good time.
What were you doing? Talk me through it.
Well, we rocked. I went with
I've never been to Kendal.
It's in Cumbria.
Again, for if listeners haven't been there, what's the festival vibe? What's the spirit? What's the score?
For a start, it's on Cumbria and it's not that far away from the coast. So it was very cold. I went with my...
Start positive. Good.
I went with my dad and his mate, Robin.
Nice.
Right? Yeah, nice. Well, nice was used liberally to start off with in the day. Very nice came out a few times. They are older than me, and so they are smarter than me.
Yep.
And so they both decided to take coats. And I looked out and went, we're not going to be queuing for very long. It'll be fine. I don't need a coat. We're basically going. Then we're going to walk a short distance to the New Union afterwards.
Yeah.
Maybe have one or two more drinks. Then we've already got a taxi booked. He's going to pick us up. We're going to go home. We're rocking up in Kendal. It's already bucketing it down with snow. And so they're already giving me so much grief in the car, in the taxi. They're like, do you want to go back and get your coat? I'm like, I'll be fine.
You're gonna get a coat, little
and
boy.
And then we go to queue, and it was snowing so heavily.
Even if you're like on a coat, like point of death, you're still not saying yes at this point now because you've just made it.
No, so it's snowing so heavily that I went over to stand under a bus shelter, and then Phil and everybody else was ripping me for being like a softy southerner. So this is like my intro to Kendal. I'm like, I'm standing under a bus shelter next shivering. To queue on my Todd.
In a pair of shorts.
Trying not to get too soaked. Yeah, in my shorts, yeah. Shorts and a green jumper. So, stands and top drams.
It could be another episode title.
Mike, why have we called it Barbie and Kendal?
Kendal.
Kendal.
Because it's mega.
Yeah, because it's a mega name. But also, because, you know, the whiskey crowd, we're not the most handsomest bunch, are we, overall? So...
Speak for yourself.
Ryan Gosling would have stood out. I'm just saying.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, stands. We went straight in, downstairs, had a walk around. Immediately, I see Tamdu and Gungoin. Immediately. And I'm like, I said, go to my dad and Rob. I'm going straight in. And I crossed my fingers so hard, Mike. I was like, Tamdu 18. I was getting closer to the stand. And I could see they had no 18. And
I'm
I had to bury the crushing disappointment to be enthusiastic because I was also sort of like hosting my dad and his mate Robin around the show.
Yeah.
Right. So I couldn't start off going, oh, this is rubbish. So and also they're all nice people. So that stand was next to Glenmurray.
Yeah.
Right.
Glenmurray.
Right. And they had all the bangers out. They had all the the Warehouse One, Amontillado and Amarone and Oloroso. And
oh, they got a new one coming out, by the way. I had an email today, and it's going to be, just to butt into your combo, it's ex-burbs, and then it's going to be aged in brand new oak bourbon cask. So should be like caramelly sweet. I'm quite looking forward to that one. So you don't see it very often, brand new oak being used for scotch. Bert will be fuming. Sorry, I interjected. Go on.
Yeah, I saw, but so I've only been there for a few minutes. So then we tried Tamdu 12.
Yeah.
And I think they didn't even have the 15. They didn't even have Tamdu 15 on the stand. I know, I couldn't believe it. But I was keeping my game face was on. Yeah, keeping positive.
You got to keep the sponsorship going, haven't you?
Well, it's less for me, more for Robin and my dad, right? I didn't want to go over to a stand and go, this is rubbish, right? So so they tried Tamdu 12. They both really liked it. Mm. And then they try Glengoyne 15 and maybe one more. And then I got them afterwards to try Glenmurray, like the Amarone, yeah, something else. And they were like, wow, because they don't really drink half strength whiskey. They were like, this is incredible.
Boom.
And they said, it's even though it's so strong, it actually drinks really well. And that was like first eye-opening moment for them. But just to come back, my dad, in hindsight, guess what his favorite dram of the show was? He must have tried 40-ish.
Naked Grouse.
No, it was Glengoyne 15. That was his favourite dram of the whole show. Even now, he maintains it. I spoke to him the other day and he said Glengoyne 15 was my favourite dram of the show. So that was really interesting because I learned. They also said they didn't want to try any peated whiskey, pretty much.
At all.
Not they didn't want any, but they weren't into it. They were just like, we just don't like peated whiskey. Yeah. I got them to try one and they loved it. We'll get to that. So then we do Glenmurray and then, I don't know, we had a walk around to see what else there was downstairs. And I said, let's go upstairs. Then we bumped into Bert. Bert's immediately handed me samples in like some dodgy bag.
Quality.
So I immediately loaded up with samples. Had a wee chat with Bert. We head upstairs. You walk in upstairs and the SMWS stand was there. Now, so already one of my drams of the festival is still that Glenmurray Amarone.
Yeah.
I love it. I am going to get a bottle. I've decided now, because I've tried it twice now at two festivals and it is excellent. And I tried it fairly early on at both, so I know my palate was still there.
Yeah.
So we go to the SWS stand, we're having a chat with those boys. Connor, I think, is one of them. Really nice guy. He was on there last year too. I don't know the other chap's name. Also nice. And
get it into your dad.
I was like, straight away, I was like, SMWS member, these two aren't, you know, see if we can persuade them to join. And they tried a couple of things and they cracked out some of the under, you know, some of the under the counter stuff. And one of the ones they had was an 18-year-old Bunner,
nice.
Which is, I think, a refill or also, but maybe like just second fill, you know, like still pretty new. It was called like Something Boisterous. Oh my days, Mike. I regret so much not getting a bottle of that. Have you got a bottle?
I don't know, but I'm just nursing my SMWS 12 days of Christmas. 12 drams yeah. of Christmas. So I just need to plug a little bit.
I think it was called like 12 drams of Christmas with Mike. Tune in every day at you know, 6
It will
PM.
Be. I think I am going to do some tasting notes.
Do it well. Live, yeah. I'll join in. Just be me and you. I'll just be fanboying you.
Schwing!
So anyway, well, if one of them is this boisterous... whatever it was, but it's got boisterous in the title. Just search the word boisterous. But I have it.
19
SMWS. You're 18 year old. Oh my days! One of the best drams of the festival.
Nice.
Just absolutely ludicrously good. Just so much going on, but still so sherried. Yeah,
like was it
just real classic?
Was it Bunnahabhain character?
Sherry had a little bit of it, yeah, but also had lots of like meaty stuff going on. It was slightly. It was obviously slightly salty.
Yeah, yeah.
Just top draw. And I can't remember if there's anything else that I tried on SMDS that we thought was fantastic. But one of the other best stands at the show for me was the Claxton stand.
Okay.
And I talked to both of them and I've got the business card for Martin Burnett, the GM. And he is a lovely guy. Now, I've got a few Claxton's bottles. They're the big kind of square bottles with the big stoppers. Yeah. And those guys know how to do it. I mean, they were next to the Glen Scotia stand. So we went over there, Robin, my dad, Chris, and I, and they've got
Batman, Robin, and Two Tipsy.
Yeah, Batman, Robin, Two Tipsy. Yeah, so we're over there. They've got so many bottles. They've got all their different stuff, including their like high end single casks and their like more sort of affordable range. Right?
Yeah.
Tobermory 26, incredible. I don't know what that costs. I think that's like 160-ish quid.
See,
that is on my list to buy. That,
so you've got
Mike
for that price, 160. And yet a 15-year-old Glen Tocker's 125. What are you thinking?
I love that.
You would pay them all straight away.
Mike, they also had a 1996 25-year-old Ben Nevis on the stand.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I had that first, knowing that because I could see the colour on the Toby was just mad. And that Toby one had it, you know, when that, it's got that really nice rubbery note in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so their stuff is just exceptional. I tried a couple of other ones on the stand. And then Martin... really genuinely lovely guy, he pulls out a Castbridge 1965 that he said he took from, must be telling the truth, he was like, I took this from the cask yesterday, 100 mils, just got 100 mils with me. He's like, do you want a wee bit?
Aww.
So I was sharing, when I was getting special drams around the festival, I was sharing it with my dad and Robin, and so it's quite loud, and I go to him, oh, it's a 1965, and Robin goes, 1965, you couldn't believe it. It was obviously around 50 years old, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was like so intense in its flavour. Like it was quite oaky, but not, it was like, it wasn't, you didn't really taste the oak like you were drinking wood.
Yeah.
But it just had that kind of bold profile. It's bags of licorice in it. I mean, loads of licorice, sweet licorice, black licorice. So yeah, it was like a 1965 cask bridge, just boom. Just like
I despise licorice, so that sounds disgusting.
It wasn't. I loved it. I think Brian Malt Musing said it was his dram of the festival. Mm. Later, I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah.
Certainly one of my drams of the festival. It's just so different.
Like I said, that's so rare to get stuff like that. I think you'll always remember
we
that.
We saw, definitely. And more than anything, the dram itself was great. But Robin's reaction when he realized he was drinking that, my dad was like, this is nice.
Yeah.
Robin was like, oh, this is incredible. 1965. I think he was born in 1968.
I was 20 when this was made.
His face lit up. Yeah. Yeah. Just for listeners at home. Robin's actually 97 and my dad's 101. So it was a little challenging at the show. Yeah. Special facilities were needed.
Yeah.
Glen Scotia was there, obviously.
Who was there from Scotia?
And Gary Mills.
Oof.
Had a legendary Christmas shirt on. Red shirt.
Yeah.
Sculpted to his toned frame. And it had little snowmen on it.
Nice.
Yeah. had his cheeky smile as well.
Love it.
So I had a good chat with Gary. And epiphany moment, the guys had said they didn't want to drink any peat, so I'd been avoiding it.
Yep.
But I said, you have to try this Glen Scotia Festival Edition 11-year-old. I'm like, stone fruits, lightly peated. And they tried it. They both loved it. And Robin he said it was very good. Let's just say that. Yeah.
Nice.
So he loved it to bits, yeah. We tried some single cask stuff, I think, from Gary, like heavily charred.
Nice.
Some sort of single cask, heavily charred. Somebody famous on Whiskey Twitter might have knocked a cork into it when they were taking a picture of it, not me.
Smedley!
Smedley! Smedley! The least smooth action of the festival. So, yeah. But, you know, there was so much going on. So we were working our way to getting back around to seeing Paul Main of Whiskey Toast and Ambassador for Hunter Lang downstairs, because he had a really banging stand. So we caught up with Libby. We had some drams there. I have to say, there was loads of English distilleries. You had Cotswolds, Lakes, Wireworks from Derbyshire. Good. There was more. There was about 7 or 8 English distilleries. Obviously, we went over to English Whiskey and we had a good chat to Soren. He had an incredible Festival Edition only virgin cask.
Nice.
It was a quarter virgin cask.
Yeah.
Virgin burbs. And what was really interesting was he poured us all a bit. And he also had a really nice sherry bottle, which was a lovely dram, a PX bottle. And they'd bottled it using their own PX casks they've made. So they put the PX into the cask themselves. Then they'd taken the PX with the PX out,
no bottled way. That,
and then use those casks for the whiskey, which I loved because it's very cyclical, right? Very efficient. Yeah. So we were able to try the PX that had been from their own PX sherry, which is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it was really good. But the real star of the stand was their festival-only virgin oak quarter cask. And nice. What Soren did was he poured us all a bit and we were all smelling it. And he said, I've got a glass that's been sat on the stand for about 20, 25 minutes now. And so we're all smelling the differences. And this was another epiphany moment for Robin and my dad. Me and you, we know, but even I was a bit shocked. The difference in how it nosed between 20, 25 minutes and the immediate pour was
worlds apart.
Huge. Worlds apart. And you know it, but to be reminded,
yeah,
especially once you've maybe had a few drams.
When you were too tipsy.
For Soren to just point out the, he was also pointing out the daftness of whiskey shows, because of course, as you go around and put something in your glass and sniff and taste it within 5 minutes, you really aren't getting the fullness out of the whiskey.
Right? Once you've got like 5 or 6 drams in, you are pretty much blind.
Yeah. No, that's not entirely true.
You're not picking out like delicate tasting notes, are you? You're just going, yes, decent. I think after 6 drams, you are you turn into Batman, you turn into your dad. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, nice.
That's it.
But you can still tell if something's exceptional, but everything else just ends up sort of muddled in together until you get to sort of too many at that point.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. Yeah, anyway, so we obviously saw Libby, Glasgow Whiskey Distillery, and we were trying some stuff there. Some really good bottles on their stand.
Sounds like you had a good time.
Tried, I think. Yeah, we did. But I have to talk about the Hunter Lang stand, because Paul had some incredible bottles there.
Did they?
Paul stand. Yeah. And Paul had such a big audience because he's so entertaining.
Yeah.
He wasn't just pouring, he was literally entertaining the crowd. And so it felt like a party at his stand, I'll be honest with you. It's just joke after joke. And so when we had Paul on the pod, I didn't appreciate just how good he is at hosting whiskey tastings.
Yeah.
Right. I think I would love to do a whiskey tasting with him if he was hosting it.
Yeah.
Right. I was behind the stand at one point because we were taking a picture, because we were doing pictures with people as we go around, even though, as you pointed out, I wasn't sent it.
You didn't post any, but you just
didn't post any.
Just pictures of people's feet.
I didn't have the t-shirt on show, Mike, because it was too cold. I wore a jumper the whole time, right?
If you put a coat on, like your dad said, you'd have been fine by the time you got in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, anyway, so Paul had. I was behind the stand at one point. I was like, oh, this Glen, and I'm drunk. I'm like, this Glen Burgey. And Paul went, Duncan, you got that one wrong. It's Glen Burgey, isn't
Glen
it?
Glen Burgey. Right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, my days, Paul. And he was laughing his head off at me. But anyway, that was probably my favorite one on that stand. I think because it was like kind of like rhubarb and, you know, rhubarb custard type note. And just, I love
sweet, sour, burgie, sharp. Right?
Yeah, and that really stood out to me at the festival because there wasn't anything else like that at the festival other than that Glenbogie. And I've had a couple of bottles from first editions that have been Glenbogie, and they've had a similar note. And I remembered how much I loved those bottles I've had in the past. And so that's one I'd probably maybe look to pick up if I had endless amounts of money. But he also had an Aaron 21. I mean, it was like a 16, 17 or 18 year old Glenrothes as well, like single cask. There was some really good stuff on that stand.
Nice.
So, I mean, it was a bit endless, Mike. I mean, what to say? You missed out.
Endless, but everything has to have an ending. And how did it end up for you? What was your final memories of the evening?
We shuffled our way onto the New Union.
Yeah.
Phil's Pub. Yeah.
Had a few. And then, right. then made your way.
Springbanks.
Delicately made Paolo, your way
we had
home.
The Paolo. Yeah, got in the taxi, went home. Yeah. Everything was
no
fine.
No issues in the house. Yeah. No issues outside the house.
I might have chundered at my parents' house in the garden.
A palate cleanser right at the end of the night.
Yeah, I think somewhere between the cold. I'd only had a bacon sandwich all day. That's all I had to eat.
Oh, and mate, usually amateur hour. Food. Amateur hour.
I know. And I had a pint of stout at the pub as well afterwards.
Was that nice?
So I had stout, crisps, two Springbanks.
And a bacon roll and then 17 whiskeys.
But the bacon roll was in the morning. That was in the morning before we went. That's all I've had.
We've talked about this, how to behave.
I know. But it was just, I was just talking to too many people. Also, didn't mention Cliff. Cliff was there. I was hanging out with Cliff for a bit.
Oh,
Cliff's
nice.
A legend. And also, we have to shout out Mitch. He's on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was there with his partner. We had a good chat, a good natter. Mitch is a really nice guy.
Mitch, a.k.a. Hench.
Yeah, Hench. Dame Judy Hench, yeah. He's also like a weightlifter or something, right?
Hence the Hench.
Hench, yeah. Anyway, he was really nice.
Dunk.
Oh, my days, Mike. I feel like just by association, by talking about this, I'm starting to feel drunk.
You're feeling hungover again now. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
You need to go into the corner and just expel some experience onto the floor.
But anyway, so I got some people to record something as we were going around as well.
Okay, what was that?
People to record some, well... You know what it is.
I do know what it is.
Yeah. So Top Drams have been through. The evening session got closed. Did you hear that?
Nope.
So it snowed so much in Kendall. Mm. It's like its own microclimate or some daft nonsense. Like somewhere on the southern part of Spain where it's always sunny. Apparently it just... If it snows in England, in Kendall, it's like a meter of snowfall.
Was there just people 20 going
miles down
going,
the road?
Winter's coming. Prepare.
20 miles down the road, it looked like someone had just sprinkled icing sugar around. In Kendall, like a meter of snow, 100 cars snowed in. Festival called off in the evening.
Oh, my God.
What's going on? Oh, dearie me. So, yeah, that was it. Top festival.
Are
Will
you,
I go again? Yes.
Are you booking
year?
It next year? Are we definitely booking
100%,
it?
100%, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think it's one of the best festivals in the UK.
I was gutted. I couldn't go. I was absolutely gutted. But yeah, small human will be of traveling age by next year. So that's a definite for next year. Be on that one.
Yeah. I'm still going with this being a port cask. Port. Don't know what type of port, but obviously red port. So it could be like a tawny port or some other kind of port. Heavily charred, peated.
Oh, that annoyed me when I left the house. Before I came down to record, Lara was watching something on TV. Lidl versus Fortnum and Mason on Channel 5. Quality documentary, as you'd expect from Channel 5.
And right, Lidl versus Fortnum and Mason?
Yeah, so they're doing like, oh, this costs a pound, but this costs 400 quid. Is it, what's the difference? Blah, blah, blah. But like, they're going, oh yeah, we're trying all these different like ports. And they had three ports. Well, this one's from Fortnum & Mason, but this one's from Lidl. I'm like, they're clearly different types of port. And they're going, well, this is far sweeter than this one. I went, well, by design it is. I was getting so annoyed when I left the house.
I remember we used to go to Lidl and they sold a bottle of port at the time. I mean, I'm talking like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They sold port for like about £4.70 or something.
They still do the cheap ones.
£4.70. So we just buy the bottle instead of an actual bottle of wine.
Insert,
I go back with my...
Insert Arden Merkin here, but it's fucking idiotic because that's like saying, right, here you go. I've got fucking McCoy's steak crisps and then I've got Aldi's version, which is salt and vinegar. Oh, they taste totally different. I like steak better.
Of course they do. They're different flavours, you muppet. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so sorry, that was, that's a lot of beeping I'm going to have to put in there, but that's a last minute rant.
Oh, so okay. Okay, so if you, the last ranty thing I'd say is that my dad, because obviously I chundered in the chundered outside,
yeah,
the house. He the next day, because he was fine, yeah. And I he said he went. I was fine yesterday. I went, how are you doing? He went, oh, fine. Yeah. He went, I didn't drink anything for a while. Had some dinner, you know, I, you know, like a sensible person.
Oh, and then he said,
yeah.
Then put he the went. Knife then in, he went, Dad.
Yeah. Then he went. I had a glass of wine in the evening. Fine. Went to bed. Well, I watched the match. Match was rubbish, but otherwise fine. How you feel? So you're right today? Yeah, I'm totally fine. Yeah. All right then. So that like, and then I said in retort, I think I probably had a few more to drink than you.
Oh.
He went, because I was taking them round, but then I felt like I was getting extra stuff. And they said, no.
The pack
when you
leader.
Weren't with us, we were also, you know, still getting drams in. I was like, okay, well, maybe we had the same to drink then.
Yeah.
And he went, you did have two whiskeys and a pint at the pub. And I'm like, well, that's not the difference. I mean, that was like a difference of like 2 units out of what? It's like a pee in the ocean.
And to be fair, I guarantee they were dramming while you were chatting. So they probably battered
you. Yeah, quite possibly. But they were also chatting to each other because they're mates. They were just chatting to each other as they went around, right? Whereas I was talking to all our
they've probably got 30 years of extra kidney and liver pickling on you, so they're fine.
Oh, 100%. And apparently Robin once did this thing where like he used to be in the police. And they put them on some special testing where they gave them like about 5 pints or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they tested him about 4 hours later and he was fine to drive. He was like, and they were trying to tell them that even though there's legal limits, everyone's body handles alcohol differently. And apparently he's like a fortress. So I was going with a guy that basically isn't affected by alcohol at all. Turns out that he literally processes alcohol in like some sort of record beating Guinness World Book of Records time. So he probably processed it all by the time we got back in the taxi.
Oh.
And there's me off my nut. And my dad just on a plane.
Yeah.
My dad's just like, totally cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Like water's off a duck, like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Just been to a whiskey festival, probably had 30, 40 drams, you know, like 10 mils or whatever.
Yeah.
Literally, totally fine.
Glass of red? No, I only drink white now.
Yeah. Give me a couple of hours. I'll just have some food and I'll have a nice glass of wine with my dinner. Yeah. You know, posting some cheese.
I love it, mate. That sounds good.
Anyway, it's a really good crack. So if I've missed anybody, and I probably have, I really, really apologize. I'll probably remember it as soon as we've finished.
Yeah.
But we'll shout you out afterwards.
Good.
But I wanted to do an extra special shout out to Cliff, legend, to Libby, to Paul, and also to Martin on Claxton's and the lovely lady that was with. I'm trying to remember her name. Can't remember, but lovely.
Right? Lovely.
Also, Gary Mills, hero.
Big Gaz.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
Big Gaz too. Absolutely. Phil, New Union, Brian, for just being there. I will say this. I bumped into Brian. We had a wee chat and Brian was like, he was looking worse for wear.
Oh, no way.
Too much of a lively Friday. Oh, yeah.
But Brian always suffers from altitude sickness as well because he's like about 14 foot tall.
Yeah, he's about 14 foot tall, yeah. Anyway, that's all from me this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Honest to a Malt.
And as always, follow us on all the socials at Honest to a Malt, myself on Whiskey Wings as well. And Duncan will be changing his handle from Whiskey Tips to Too Tipsy very shortly. So we'll watch this space.
Too Tipsy, yeah. And show Mike some love on his SMWS calendar drams.
It's doing fine, don't you worry. Catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Mitch is having a rant.
What we want is a podcast of people of the age that we relate to that are buying their own stuff that are telling us about stuff that they've actually bought and enjoyed, not what they've been gifted by some random PR. And you're awesome.
Oh, burn, Mitch.
Absolutely, you guys.
Let me send me a sample of malt right there. What am I supposed to do about that?
Burn it.
So I'm over with Tamdu. This is Jamie. What's up, Jamie?
How you doing? You alright?
Yeah, Jamie's alright. He's pretty chilled out. Jamie, where the f*** is the 15 and the 18?
15 and 18 Tamdu. 15 and 18 Tamdu's at home.
It's at home. It's too important for us flips. I'm just over at the Claxton's stand. Absolute banger. Nobody here. Well, not nobody here. A few people here, but well overlooked. Absolute standout of the show. Toby Morey,
Tomori, Ben Nevis, 26, Highlands, 26, Tom and Till, and Martin, right?
Martin, yeah.
Martin?
Martin Burnett.
Martin Burnett, looking like some ex-SAS fella. Martin, just shout out Claxton's.
Yeah, well, Claxton's independent bottler. If you want to find the gems, you come to the independent bottlers.
Yeah. Also, they did Coach Built.
Oh, yeah, they did.
We'll talk about that. Right, we'll just put it in this little excerpt, right? Buy me a liver. Oh, oh.
Buy me a liver.
Oh,
oh. Buy me a liver.
English Whiskey Company.
Yeah, cheers, Soren.